Before we get into this week's edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we'd like to acknowledge the death of Jerome Young, better known to wrestling fans as New Jack. New Jack was a star of ECW and Smoky Mountain Wrestling, very controversial figure in the ring, with coming to the ring with the Natural Born Killers. He was a multiple tag team champion in ECW, and after the collapse of ECW, wrestled a lot in the independent scene. Jerome Young was his real name. He was 58 years old. New Jack died at the age of 58.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Back with Chris on the mat, and guess who's joining us today, Chris?
Well, we haven't seen him in a while, but we have got a Dave sighting. We have a Dave sighting now.
We are officially the triple threat, the trio is back together. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Dave Buford-Denton is in his house.
Thank you, guys. I expect a lot of applause by the listeners today. It has been an interesting, an interesting time at my household because of health reasons, and I apologize we haven't been able to do one for a few weeks. So my apologies to all the trash heads out there.
Dave, did you get the Kung Flu?
No, I did not get the Kung Flu. I got the gallbladder. I had a gallbladder attack that required four different surgeries. One to remove 2/3 of the gallbladder, the other to remove the other third, put in some stents, get some stones out of my pancreas. Then I had to get the stents removed, and then while I was doing testing to get ready for the surgeries for the stent removal, I fell flat on my gluteus maximus and have a compression fracture in my lower spine, and I'm having surgery on that this week. Yes, it's been an interesting few weeks.
Get up.
Dave, what are we going to do with you?
Well, probably send money. I got medical bills to pay.
So we need to start a GoFundMe for the doctor of rock, the doctor of professional wrestling.
No, but we got a lot to talk about now, don't we?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it is a crazy time in the world of professional wrestling, I'll tell you what.
Okay, one quick thing before I let you guys say anything, okay? How great is it that AEW is going back on the road and WWE also going back on the road?
Do you even need an answer from me, Dave?
No, Mr. No Mask Zane there, so.
That's me.
You're happy about that. I think we're to the point now where it's starting to make sense. I'm not sure how they're going to do everything, but the first WWE show is going to be in Houston, Texas. I don't know how many tickets are going to sell, but they're saying we're going back on the road, and AEW is going on the road in June, I believe, so.
That's going to be so awesome, dude. I hope they come to Salt Lake. I'm going.
Well, you know they should, since their last show that they did on the road was in Salt Lake City right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, that was it was a pretty good turnout, wasn't it?
Yeah, the show was, I think they had about 8,000 there and almost a sellout. And that's when we looked on the tube and we saw our friends Manny Smith and Diana Reka Tahaka, and also Marty Daniels doing bit parts backstage during that show. And now they're all doing very well, those three.
Boy, I'll tell you what. Boy, maybe we need to talk about that later, but
yeah.
How freaking great is that?
Getting back on the road and then seeing how well Manny, Brett, Martin Casals is doing well. Marty Daniels is doing well. We still have that second promotion in Salt Lake City called Dive Wrestling doing well. I'm just excited to be a wrestling fan. I know, Chris, you're all the way back in North Carolina. How are things going in North Carolina now?
As long as the WWE don't bring the zombies with them, I'll be just fine with it.
How cute.
Well, what's in your head, Chris?
why in God's name am I watching The Walking Dead on a pay-per-view and then I see the dead Elvis? Mom was looking, probably rolling in her bed going, please don't do this again. So go right ahead, guys. Go ahead, guys.
Okay. Yeah, you got it. That was pretty bad, man.
but that Dave Bautista movie was so awesome.
You've seen it?
Oh, have I ever, dude. It came out Friday, and I stayed up till 2 in the morning Friday watching it, dude. It was
best sleeping pill you probably ever had.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's the best movie of 2021 so far.
Well, was it a silent movie? Because I know he can't act.
Dave Bautista?
All right.
I think Dave Bautista does fine work on the screen.
So did the dog that did the beautiful bean footage on, you know, those Bush's baked beans. But, you know, that's here nor there. Go ahead. Sorry.
What's the name of the movie, Zane, so everyone can say, I got to see this Dave Bautista.
Army of the Dead.
Now, who was the director? Was that Zack Snyder?
That was Zack Snyder, man. You know, and you know what got, well, other than 300, uh-huh. What was that got Zack Snyder off the ground, don't you?
No.
E.T.? No? It was the what's it called? The sequel to Night of the Living Dead. What was that one called?
Day of the Living Dead?
Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead remake. Yeah, the Dawn of the Dead remake back in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, I remember
like
that.
Shaun of the Dead.
I didn't like
that Dawn of the Dead remake was so good.
Yeah. You like zombies, so violent. Though.
Oh, yeah, dude. You can always tell them... You know, yes, and I like the cranberries as well.
Cranberry sauce? Is that the cranberry sauce or what?
Let's talk about wrestling, guys. Okay, Zane, you're up first about wrestling.
Oh, Dave. You know, the only thing I'm going to say about wrestling right now is who is the head of the table.
I'm sitting at a table.
No. Who is the tribal chief?
The Rock?
No.
What's wrong with this guy, Dave?
He hasn't had his din-din yet, you know. And he worked Chris, all day long.
I'm doing a double cheeseburger right now, so go right ahead.
Chris needs to crack open a Steve Weiser and lighten up a little bit, doesn't he?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not... You know what? That's the best idea you've had all day, Zane. It's great.
It is a great idea.
Go ahead.
But Dave.
Yes.
How awesome is Roman Reigns' new entrance music?
I know you like it because you texted me. You said people on social media were cutting it down, and I think it's fine. I like it.
Dude, I thought it was rad. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
It fits him perfect.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I actually have to break some news to you guys. I quit most of social media.
Don't blame you.
I got off of Facebook. I even deleted it. I didn't just deactivate it. Full-blown delete, done, out of there.
So but now, Chris, we can say bad things about him on our Turnbuckle Trash, and he won't even know.
Nope. I won't. And guess what? I won't even care either.
I could be evil again. I could be evil.
Hey, Dave, now you can officially let our counterpart back into the group.
Nah. Uh-oh. No, don't think so. Don't think so. I know exactly why. Not going there. Not going there.
Should I even ask? But I'm not going to.
I will send you a message later about that one. So.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
but yeah, guys. So, I mean, it's been, I don't know. It's been IMO, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's been kind of a, I don't know. Like, I was a little, me and Chris kind of, we didn't get it really a hold of each other after the fact, but, I mean, WrestleMania was, I don't know, it was a, just, it was one of the less, I don't want to down, I mean, I don't want to talk negative, because I don't like to be negative, but, like, you know, it was super, it just wasn't as good as years past, okay? We'll leave it at that, in my opinion. It just wasn't as good as years past, okay?
Now, Chris, we'll let you be the negative.
Okay, sure. That's what I always do here. Well, to be honest with you, WrestleMania was okay. Wasn't really, you know, impressed with everything that they did. But what can you do when you're going to do the same thing? You had the fans in there, a little bit of the fans. But we all knew the outcome of some of these matches were going to be. I mean, the story buildup was all right, but it was a meh. I just got one question. Why do they have a WrestleMania Backlash?
Because
it was just called, it used to be just called
Backlash,
but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, on WrestleMania, they put it over 2 days, and I almost bet you that they'll do that from now on. Mania will be 2 days worth. Saturday's show was, interestingly, pretty good. But Sunday's show was a letdown for me. I just didn't like the Sunday evening show. I thought there were some very entertaining matches, but overall, I just wasn't impressed with the Sunday show. I thought that on Saturday night it was pretty good, and then I don't know how to put it. That I thought that the Saturday show just outshined everything that they did on Sunday. That,
well, it's because it did. There, yeah. You know, it's because it, I honestly started the Sunday show and I didn't finish it. But the Saturday show, I text Dave after the Saturday show and I was like, dang, dude, I was like, that was fun.
Uh-huh.
A lot of good matches, a lot of good, you know, things and the Sunday show I didn't even finish. I kind of was like, it just wasn't, like you said, it just wasn't really doing it for me, you know.
Yeah, you had like on Saturday you had the Lashley Drew McIntyre
yeah,
match with
the
submission
match.
You know, where he knocked him out with the Hurt Lock, and then you had Cesaro beating Seth Rollins, AJ Styles and the debuting almost defeat the New Day for the tag championship. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman defeated Shane McMahon, which I didn't care about that at all. I could have cared less about that match. Bad Bunny,
I didn't like that one either. Chris and I talked about that a lot. There wasn't really a lot of setup for a lot of these things in WrestleMania. It was like all of a sudden, like the last like 3 weeks before WrestleMania, they were like, oh crap, guys, we forgot WrestleMania's around the corner. We better start doing some stuff. Oh, crap, guys. Your WrestleMania's around the corner. What are we going to do?
Well, that's like, we've talked about that a few times, that they have these pay-per-views that they're trying to set up, and then they don't have enough time to build up the next one. You know, they only have, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. There was only like 4 weeks between what happened to Mania and then Backlash last week. And no, 5 weeks, I think it was. But that's not enough to really set up the feud to make the payoff big. I thought that the one thing that they did well for WrestleMania was moving it to the Peacock Network. You know, the streaming service that you can pay basically the same that you did the WWE Network. And they have some problems with that, but it has expanded the audience for the big pay-per-views like that. And, I mean, Peacock has 44 million subscribers, I think I've read, where the network had like 9 to 10 worldwide, which was good, But still, it just expanded the audience tremendously. And I think it's going to put a little bit more pressure on AEW to maybe lower the cost or find another way to do their pay-per-views, like they have one coming up next Sunday, which happens to be my birthday, so I'm getting it, Double or Nothing. I think that might put some pressure to say, you know, we need to do something from AEW standpoint to maybe give the fans a little bit more for their buck. I don't know. I hope so.
A little more bang for the buck.
Uh-huh. So what do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Zane.
I agree. And a little bit better accessibility to AEW for, you know, I don't know. We've talked about this many times too. Like, I don't have quote unquote TV. I don't have a satellite or cable or anything like that. And so it's a little bit difficult for me to watch AEW programming.
Right.
And so I don't know.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have a little bit more accessibility where, like, WWE, SmackDown, and Raw, you can catch on Hulu.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, like I just told Dave before we started, I was watching SmackDown from Friday night, and I was watching it on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, how do you catch your wrestling?
Well, now that I've got my cable finally hooked up and it's all good, I'm starting to watch Raw every night, SmackDown, AEW.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, no, it's all good now. I'm just, I can catch everything, and all I can say is that some of Raw is good, and SmackDown is okay, AEW is all right. But I know one thing, the Peacock Network, they're going to have a heck of a time, and AEW is going to have a heck of a time with the Peacock Network because what else has AEW got? They're moving over to TBS. That's going to be interesting.
Now, think about this. TBS has more viewers, more subscribers than TNT. So that gives them a little bit extra. And then they're opening up a Friday night show on AEW. And then they have their YouTube shows, which we'll talk more about that with some local talent in just a little bit. But, yeah, so even though some people are saying that is a bad move on their part, I think they're going to Monday nights when they move over to TBS, and then they're going to have a Friday night show. So there might be, you know, people going to say the Monday Night Wars. Well, you know, it's nothing. It's never going to be like it was. Just not going to happen. But they are going to have the chance for more viewership, and what they do with that, well, you know, we've talked about the whole time. I think AEW, I think after being on the air for almost 2 years now, I think they're going to be around for a while. And I'm not saying they're a complete success yet, but I think they're very successful. So that's my
opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and what a great place. Like, let's be honest, like some of the other alternatives out there for, you know, people that, you know, may not have done or may have got released from the WWE or weren't Vince McMahon caliber, you know, AEW has provided a really good outlet for those type of people, you know, like Jake Hagar and, you know, some of those, you know, Paul White. It's cool because I don't think like Paul White wouldn't have done very good at like ROH, you know, but AEW has enough, I don't know, street cred or whatever you want to say that somebody like the Big Show can go over there and make a pretty good splash.
Yeah. And now they've added Christian to the mix, you know, and I never have been a big Christian fan, but you know, given the guy to make, you know, a chance to make some money, come on,
And I think a big part of that too is experience too. Like,
yeah,
you know, we don't know. And honestly, they're not super, like, we don't know what goes on behind, you know, the backs, you know, in the back in the locker room, but you know, a guy like Christian to be around to just, you know, it probably gives a lot of people a lot of confidence to say, hey, you know, this guy's, you know, a legit superstar. He's been around for a long time, and here he is, you know, with us, you know, scrapping in the ring with Jungle Boy or somebody who's just starting out, you know. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think when you get the opportunity to have a veteran presence that can talk to some of these young guys and show them what it means to be a pro. You know, you can be a professional wrestler without being a pro, because you got to be willing to take your push when you get your push. And then you also got to make sure that you can put the other guys over. You also got to make sure that you're doing it safely and no one's getting injured too badly, because they're doing a dangerous, dangerous occupation. And I have no problem with some of these older guys going over to AEW. And as long as they are, you know, teaching a little bit and making sure that everyone gets their fair shot at being on TV, because, you know, that there's got to be, you know, a little bit of ego drone in there. I want to be on TV as much as the next guy, you know?
Yeah, it's, I think it's pretty cool, you know. And think about, too, like, you know, so like even some of the local promotions, like if somebody like Christian, or I remember, Dave, when we went and saw Rey Mysterio come to Salt Lake, like how much bigger of an event that was. And I mean, so a little bit of these veteran type presence, it can get a lot more views too.
So Chris, I know you've been a little bit critical of some of these older guys coming into AEW and, you know, taking away maybe the spotlight. What do you think about what we've been talking about here?
Well, you are correct. I mean, it is good for the older wrestlers to come in and mentor these guys. But my problem is that when is enough enough? How many times have you seen The Big Show on AEW? I count two.
Well, he's doing that show on Monday nights, and he's just going to be a part-time performer. Yeah, so.
Well, and that's fine. And Christian is now this person that's going to run through everybody. Okay. It all depends on how long they're going to let you even have one match that you're not going to lose yet.
Right.
My problem is this, guys. You've got Sting. You got Christian. You got The Big Show. You have Chris Jericho. You've got who's next to come in? But you know what, guys? If that's how they want to do it, to mentor these new guys, to mentor like Darby Allin, these other new wrestlers, that's great, and I hope it works out.
Well, I was just going to say, when you get the opportunity to sit at the learning tree from somebody like Sting, you know, Sting, mm-hmm. you know, he's, what, 62, 63 years old now, and but he's still in good shape, and I think he does a good job when he's in there battling, but he also can sit there and help with the psychology of being in the ring. And what he did to help put Darby Allin over, I think Darby Allin is a legitimate star right now, because they hooked him up with Sting for a while. And I don't foresee that to be a big deal within 3 or 4 months. I bet they're kind of split up, and Sting's doing his own thing and Darby's doing his own thing. And then Miro was with Kip Sabian, and now that's broken up, and he's got the championship from Darby Allin. Then you get people like Jungle Boy coming in, and Luchasaurus. I love Luchasaurus, by the way. And Jungle Boy's become a legitimate star in the company. And then they get the two different programs on Monday night and Tuesday night to give some more exposure to some of these younger guys, and given tryouts, and also getting ring exposure for people like our friends Manny Smith, some stuff for Impact, Diana. Reka Tahaka recently took on Nyla Rose with Vicky Guerrero. Now, it's basically a squash tag match, but Reka really got some fans with her vocalization and some of her moves, and I'm just really proud. And Brett Austin, the brother Austin from, you know, the Brothers Austin, is doing well. He's doing some stuff at the Nightmare Factory. And then let's discuss this really quick. Martin Casals, Marty the Moth Martinez.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Real, I mean, I don't consider him a friend. I consider him an acquaintance. I've talked to him a few times. I've met him. I was on the panel discussion at Comic-Con with him several years ago talking about wrestling. We've, you know, he probably, if he saw me, he'd say, do I know this guy? You know, that's the kind of relationship we have. And then after reminding him, he'd say, oh, yeah. 2 years ago at a Devotion wrestling event, I saw Marty outside waiting to get in. So I went up and talked to him, and he told me about his back injury. And it took him 2 years of not having going under the knife and physical rehab, and he is back wrestling in the ring looking great. I mean,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
With Matt Sydal, I mean, that, he should, they should have had him win that match and bring in Marty to AEW. I mean, I am such a fan of his because he's worked hard. He's got a great backstory with having been on Tough Enough with Stone Cold and also this injury that he's fought back from. And he's getting married in a few weeks, too. So congratulations, Marty.
Marty, it's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Go ahead.
So, you know, our local competitors in Utah, and, you know, this is not just a Utah show, but we're talking about some people that we know and we appreciate, and we really like some of these people. And we've had Otto Von Klutsch on our show before. He's helping a new promotion out of Las Vegas, also doing a lot of wrestling in the Southern California area, along with Tombstone Jesus, Tombstone Judas, whatever you call. So these guys are starting now to grow, and it all comes from having someone with a vision like Manny Smith to say, you know what, we need to do something, and we need to do this right. When Devotion Championship Wrestling started, it was a bunch of guys that wanted to have good training. Then they hook up with Vince Russo. That got them a little bit more street cred. And then Ohio Valley Wrestling and using the Al Snow method to be able to train. And now you've got Rekha Tahaka, Manny Smith, Brett Austin, Brother Brett, and them. They are training with the Nightmare Factory back in Atlanta. They show up on AEW television on YouTube. It's all good, you know, and Utah has a lot of talent here. You've got a lot of very athletic, especially big men in this area. There's so many football players that play in college football that are so athletic. They don't really get a shot in the NFL, but they could get a shot with Devotion Championship Wrestling. So I'm really proud of our relationship with DCW.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, huh?
Yeah. And they have a show on June the 12th, by the way. I'm going to try to be there.
Manny Smith looking all ripped up right now. I mean, this boy's been putting in some time clanging and banging. Looks like he's now starting to look like a wrestler and not somebody that just washes dishes. So, I mean, when I first saw him, huh?
Yeah, I'll give you credit. I mean, he really has been working hard in the gym. His shoulders, I put it on his Facebook page the other day, his shoulders are looking great. He's getting definition in his arms. And so is Brother Brett Austin. That guy needs to get out of the Brother Smith outfit and come out there in regular wrestling gear. He's pretty buff. I mean, he's got some good definition in him now.
Yeah, I mean, everything is looking good for Devotion right now. They've had some wonderful matches. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with Tombstone Judas or Tombstone Jesus or Tombstone Firecracker, whatever you want to call him now. I don't think he knows what his name is. It's perfect. I like Devotion. I'm glad that, but I'm really happy for Manny. You're going to Impact Wrestling. Only one person will ever see you wrestle. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody watches it. So only one. How many fans do you have there? No.
Impact does okay.
But I'm glad that he's going.
Yeah,
Impact is fine. I'm glad. I'm very proud of him. And congratulations, man. You deserve it.
He's just trying to be funny. Let's go to Zane. Zane, what else would you like to talk about during this edition of Turnbuckle Trash?
Well, you know, guys, I'd just like to comment that Demi Lovato did come out as non-binary this week. You know, so.
Oh, my God.
And how completely irrelevant that is to anything in the world. But on a better
anything
note.
Anything in the world. Anything in the world. Who gives a. about her.
Of all the things you have to say on this podcast, that's the thing that comes out your mouth.
That was funny. Well,
I just think that I'm just really excited to get out there and get to see some live events again. You know, WWE's getting back out on the road. I hope AEW comes, because we missed AEW last time they came.
Yeah.
And my kid's getting a little bit older now, so we could probably go to an AEW show and, you know, just say the old earmuffs thing when, if anything bad or anything like that comes up. But I don't think they've been too controversial.
No, they're slipping in some four-letter words, and they have more. Chris, you probably like this because, you know, if they don't crack them, somebody doesn't get cracked wide open, you don't think it's wrestling. But they've had some bloody matches on AEW, even on TV. Every once in a while, you got to think with AEW, what were they thinking? And I'm going to bring up two examples here, okay? During the Blood and Guts match, and Chris, I know you're going to go crazy.
Yeah, go for it, please, sir.
Yeah, they get up on top of the cage, and you know that either MJF or Chris Jericho is going to be falling off this cage. They set it up nicely MJF. Set it up with MJF having Chris Jericho and telling the other guys in the inner circle to quit, or he's going to throw him off the ring down to the ground. They no, so they quit. I thought that was a decent setup. Then they throw Chris Jericho down onto the platform, which obviously, and I had no problem with the way he landed and all that. He did hurt his elbow a little bit in that. But a lot of people on social media, which, you know, we think about social media, were really all over him because you could tell that it was padded and that was supposed to give away and break his fall. A lot of people had problems with that. Right, Chris?
Well, I had a problem with it, but look, how old is Chris Jericho?
I think he's in his early 50s. I can find out.
Go ahead. Okay. So my thing is, I respect Jericho and what he did and was trying to do for the business, but the man is not going to actually fall off a steel cage. And, you know, they think this is metal that he's going to be landing on. That would have basically broke that man in half. I do have a problem with one thing, though. When the airbag finally gave way and you could hear it go, poof, and you hear it, poof. So, yeah, I did have a problem with that part. Other than that, the match was good. I liked it, but it was just that one part. What about you guys? Did you agree, disagree, like, not like?
I put it in perspective.
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
I put it in perspective. These guys are pros, and they could have done it a little bit better, but it wasn't too bad. And then when they did the champagne, where they bring in this little truck and squirt champagne at MJF and his guys, the Pinnacle, that was a letdown, I got to admit, because they were parodying the situation with Stone Cold when he did the beer and Vincent Kennedy McMahon, but it was too little. I mean, they used basically a very small truck, and they didn't have a very good stream of the supposed champagne coming out. So I was just let down with that with just a little bit. But it's still entertainment, guys. You know, you can't expect it to knock it out of the park each and every time. So I give them slack. So, but a lot of people really were all over them.
It's precisely like that, Dave. It's entertainment. I mean, I was reading, you know, like with the new Dave Bautista zombie movie. I mean, like, people are giving it like critics and stuff. I'm like, how could you sit down and review a movie like this besides, you know what? It's zombies. Go watch it and be entertained. Like, how could you sit down and watch, like, write a critical review on a huge, you know, 6 foot freaking 300-something pound muscly dude shooting zombies in the face? You know, it's like, oh, Dave Bautista in his latest film, you know, and it's like, just shut up and be entertained. Good grief.
So Chris Jericho is 52
like
years old.
Out there like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody, you know, what's his name? Forgot his lines. He didn't know what he was saying. And it's like, oh my gosh, who cares? You know what? Yeah. Were you entertained? Yeah, like that's all that matters.
Bro.
Like fun. Yeah, dude. Come on.
Yeah, bro.
Which RK bro is like the most refreshing thing for it's been for a while. I love RK bro, dude.
Chris, what did you think about RK bro on Monday Night Raw?
Sorry, I woke up. What'd you say? That's my reason. It's okay. I mean, I like it. It's like Randy Orton has got his little brother behind him now. And every time the little brother makes a mistake, he just shakes his head and wonders why he's there.
That's the beauty of it. I think that's what makes
it's awesome.
So funny is to look at Randy Orton's expressions and the way he reacts to Riddle. And you know, I am not a fan of Riddle. I'm just not a fan of his, but I do like the RKO bro. So Zane and I, we're there.
Yes. Bro. Come on, Chris, bro.
No.
I was actually thinking about figuring out a way to invest into Matt Riddle's scooter business.
I want to see him and Randy in the rattlesnake tights.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, we've been all over the place today, haven't we? So.
Yes, we have.
Well, it's been a while. We've got a lot to cover and a lot to, you know. But all right, whatever. But yeah, back on track. But so what's going on with this summer, Dave? I mean, more pay per views, more. You know what's in the future?
Well, I think the biggest news we've talked about a little bit is that that they are going back on the road. They have not said where SummerSlam's going to be as of yet, but the rumor is Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you can take a vacation from your job, fly out to Vegas, stay with your uncle, and then, Zane, you can drive down, and I can sit up here nursing my injuries.
Yeah. I'll be there.
We'd have to find a way for the doctor to come with us. I mean, but I am going to call this match, if it's actually going to happen, I'm calling the match, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a three-way for the Universal Championship. It's going to be Seth Rollins versus the Roman Reigns versus Cesaro. I'm calling it. Thank you very much.
Well, that's an interesting, good point. I was going to talk to you guys about that, too. Like, some people said that the Cesaro's run is officially over, and
I hope not.
Is that true, or is that
nah?
No, I don't think. Nope. You know, I think it all depends when they look at merchandise sales and how the crowd, the fans react to Cesaro. And I thought that meant I thought he did a great job in that match with Roman Reigns and. That was a fantastic match last week at Backlash. I was hopeful Cesaro would win. I would like to see him get at least the Intercontinental Championship sometime, if not the Heavyweight Championship. Because I know, like Zane, I think you're a big Cesaro guy too. And I've always thought very underused and very underrated. But maybe they've decided he's more of an enhancement talent. Upper mid card. I don't know, but I think he's awesome.
Pound for pound, the strongest man in the WWE today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. I don't think anybody can deny that. I mean, there might be guys with more muscles and Bobby Lashley doing his thing because he's – and that brings up another point in a little bit. But Cesaro does some amazing things on some of his lifts and his swing and – and especially when he's swinging Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins is not wearing socks on his penny loafers. I'm going, hey, like, so Miami Vice, dude. And then, but did everybody see that outfit he was wearing Friday night, Seth Rollins?
Who couldn't? Who couldn't?
His shirt and his suit coat matched, and it was the most horrible-looking thing. I mean, Don Cherry of the National Hockey League was known for bad jackets. And when he was commentating, but I mean, that was one of the worst looking jackets I've ever seen in my life. Unreal.
A blind stuck in the basement. Stevie Wonder could have seen that jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
So
what? Sorry.
I'm going to bring this back around because I mentioned Bobby Lashley just a few minutes ago. You don't like Bobby Lashley's character right now? This is the Bobby Lashley I wanted when they brought Bobby Lashley in from Impact, you know, when he was doing his thing going, "Oh, my sisters, I love you. My sisters, I adore you." I was like, well, that's not who Bobby Lashley is. He's a certifiable, you know, MMA fighter. He's a great wrestler. He's got this body that's incredible. And when he is that mean, just want to tear your head off type of character, that is what Bobby Lashley needs to be.
And then absolutely.
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%, that's what Bobby Lashley, you know, and what a missed opportunity that was when you friggin' didn't put Bobby Lashley up against Brock. Do you think that'll ever happen, or is that a thing of the past? Is Brock done, or do we know?
I don't know. I don't know if Brock will ever come back, but yeah, we were all rooting for Brock and Bobby Lashley to just go at it. And I got to tell you this, though. I've been watching, because I'm a big cartoon geek, I've been watching the Justice League on HBO Max, just watching the entire series. And there was a fight with Superman and I think Mongol, and he slipped around and Superman had him in the Hurt Lock. I said to my wife, look, Superman stole the Hurt Lock from Bobby Lashley. I'm such a wrestling geek.
That's perfect.
That's awesome.
That's perfect.
Because, dude, I do that stuff all the time, and everybody's like, they don't get it. They don't get it, you know. I'll be like, you know, I'll be like, if you smell what I'm cooking, and they're like, what?
What?
You know, they just don't, like, people don't get it.
Yeah.
I think I told you that the other day when I texted you. I was like, we're weird. We're wrestling fans.
That reminds me, today I was watching, because on Vice TV now, they're showing – it's about a year old. It's the old MLW Major League Wrestling Fusion.
Oh, wow.
So I've watched it the last couple of weeks, and Brian Kendrick Jr. has been on there. A wrestler that somebody needs to look at that I've been a fan of for a long time, Hammerstone. Alex Hammerstone needs to go to one of the big guys, and he's in MLW. Jacob Fatu just re-signed there for another year. Great talent. But it has been kind of fun. But today, while they were going over to where the announcers were sitting when Brian Kendrick Jr. was going to join them at the announcing table, there was a guy that had a T-shirt on that says, "I'm a wrestling nerd." I said, yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dave needs that shirt, huh?
I got to admit, man, I watch Raw. I watch SmackDown. I watch NXT, which I love NXT, by the way. I watch AEW. I'll watch a little bit of Ring of Honor. I'll watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I'll watch DCW. I just love wrestling. That's all I am. I'm a fan.
That's because you're awesome.
True. Very true.
Yeah. The women's pet and the men's regret, you know?
Yeah, styling and profiling. Speaking of styling and profiling, have you seen the commercials that Ric Flair is doing for Car Shield?
Oh, my gosh.
No.
They're all over the country. I mean, they're showing on regular TV. They're showing a lot on wrestling programs. But Car Shield, an insurance, you know, company that will pay for some of your repairs, and Ric Flair is doing on that. And one of them has another wrestler on the show with him. It's none other than L.A. Knight, who used to be Eli Drake.
Yeah, I
noticed that right off, but. Yeah, it's Car Shield. Be looking for that soon on the TV screen near you.
What was with the name change?
Vince.
Yeah.
I don't know why they changed his names, but he still comes out and he goes, "Let me talk to you." And that's not a prediction. That's a fact of life. He still does that. I think he's a great talker in the ring. I hope they give him a push soon on NXT because I've always been a fan of his. Oh, he's great stuff. And Royce Isaac, another one. Yeah, Royce Isaac has also been doing some stuff with AEW too. So,
you didn't really answer my question earlier, though. I mean, what does the future hold? I mean, you got the crystal ball there. Are Are things, quote unquote, getting back to normal? Are things going to be changed for good in wrestling, or like what? Tell me a little. Just talk a little bit about that, Dave. Like, you know, you've had time to. I shouldn't say that because that sounds rude. But you know, you've been doing a little bit more. You know, since you've been retired, and I know you had your health problems, but you know, you've been able to think maybe and ponder on this a little bit more than I have. What do you think? What is your thoughts on the future?
Okay, I think that you're going to see a slow rollout of what WWE, AEW, Major League Wrestling, ROH, all these guys that have toured in the past. You're going to see how people react to them being back on the road. Are they going to sell out Houston for the first SmackDown? I doubt it, because there's still people out there, and I got to admit, I'm one of them, a little bit apprehensive about going into crowds. I know, Zane, you're okay with it. Chris, you're probably okay with it, but I'm still being cautious. But I do have some health concerns that I have to be cautious about. I think if the crowds come back immediately, then you'll see WWE as soon as possible opening up their touring schedule again. And AEW will probably go back on the road, probably on a limited basis. But they weren't going out and doing house shows all the time, because they were just doing, here's Dynamite going to be at the Maverick Center in West Valley City. Then they were going to be in the next location the next week. They weren't doing house shows. But they have done a house show now in Tampa, and I guess it did okay. Our friend Rekha Tahaka was on that very first house show in Jacksonville, excuse me, and she took on Jade, who's a really talent there. So I think it's all going to be depending over what happens this summer and how much the crowd is going to be coming back, whether you're going to have sellouts, you're going to have close to sellouts, and are people going to want to come back? I think people are ready to come back, but there are going to be a certain amount of fans that are going to be hesitant, and I will count myself as one of those fans. But what's going to happen in the fall, and this is just my opinion here, guys. You know what opinions are good for? Nothing. Just my opinion. And if you agree with me, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I think when we get back to the next cold and flu season, how fast will the government try to shut things down again?
I do think
that will happen. And whether it's a good thing to do or not, I don't know. So what do you guys think is going to be happening for the sites of professional wrestling this summer?
Go ahead, Chris.
I think the fans will come back. I believe that they're going to enjoy wrestling, and then we'll all be just as happy as we can be. But like they said, you know, once the cold and flu season kicks in again, it's going to probably be the same thing over again. So who knows? Maybe they can start bringing more people into this. We can find out. So, guys, I'm going to have to jump off. My boss is calling me, and I will say goodbye. I'll call right back, okay?
Okay.
Au revoir.
Or hors d'oeuvres. Chris has opened up a new business doing security back in North Carolina, so we wish him the best. So that's why he's had to make some phone calls. He's one of the owners of a new security company, and he's working very hard. So we wish him the best on that. If he can get back in touch with us, fine. If not, totally understand. When you work for yourself and you're self-employed, you put in more than 40 hours a week, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, Chris, I want to see Chris go at it with Bobby Lashley, dude.
Ooh, yeah. That would be a little squash match there.
I don't know, dude. Chris is like a 10th-degree black belt, yeah, man. Chris ain't no slouch, you know.
No, he's taken martial arts since he was probably your kid's age. And he's done very well with it. He's used it in his job, getting into security, because he won't attack anybody, but he ain't going to take no you-know-what off anybody either. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I don't know. I don't know. You know, and we're not trying to, I don't want to make this like, you know, a political podcast or whatever, you know, because I mean, you and I share similar views and stuff, but like, I don't know.
Go ahead and say it. It's your opinion. So that's cool.
I hope that people don't let it happen again. I understand the need to be cautious, and I understand the need to, you know, cold and flu season to be, you know, careful and, you know, but I guess the bottom line is it's like, if you're not safe, and it's like you said, Dave, you're a little bit apprehensive on going out, you know, maybe you might hit a local show up where there's only, you know, 75 to 100 people, and you'll sit in the back and kind of, you know, versus 8,000 people, you know, bunch of mouth breathers, you know, spilling their beer all over you and spitting their chewing tobacco in the toilet, stuff like that, you know. I mean, there's one thing, like you said, to for something like that versus, you know, a local promotion, I think, you know, you'd maybe a little more, I guess, I don't know if the word is safe is the right word, but maybe a little more, just maybe a little more willing to go to a smaller promotion where not as many people are there, you know? But I just hope that people don't let them do it again. And I hope that honestly, like places like the WWE stand up and say, no, you know what? We're gonna still hit the road. We're not gonna shut it down. If you want to come and see a live event, and you know, and maybe honestly, I hope that the WWE has learned something from this. You know, I hope that they give their talent more of a break, and I hope that they don't go hit the road 395 days a year and wear people out again and get people injured again and get people tired again and get people hooked on pain pills. And I mean, I hope that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know,
they don't need to be on the road 350 days out of the year. They don't need that.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah. I agree 100%. They don't need to do that. And that's just, they just don't.
Yeah.
And the fans have proved that too. And the stockholders have said that too. Like, you know, I don't even know if house shows are worth it, Dave. What do you think?
I think on a limited basis, I think they do have some worth. Because not only do they, you know, get the opportunity for fans to come out and see these guys they see on TV, but it gets exposure locally and gives a fan like you and I the possibility of being able to go and enjoy ourselves as something we enjoy doing. Whether it's going to be affordable is another thing, because
yeah,
everything is going up. You know, I think when All Elite was here last time, their tickets were way past my budget, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's going to have to be some thought processes going in. But I'll say this, if the WWE goes out on the road, they should do one thing with their shows. Bring along vans or trucks or something to set up a Hall of Fame museum, whether they charge extra to set it up in the parking lot. There's been a very interesting show where they're looking for WWE's lost treasures. It's on A&E. I think they're doing 6 of them. They've had Jerry the King Lawler on there. They had Sergeant Slaughter on there. They've been hunting for some of these iconic things that have happened in the WWE in the past. And I looked at my wife, I said, if I was at an event and I had a chance to go in and look at some of this, I'd pay for it. You know, for them not to have a brick and mortar location, for them to have the fans be able to come in and see some of this is a shame. And I'm going to go back even farther in the back. Years ago, it was shortly after Teresa and I were married, so we're going up on 26 years now, at the Excalibur in Las Vegas, there was a restaurant that opened up, the WCW Nitro Grill. They had some of the best hamburgers you ever put in your mouth. They were incredible. But as you were waiting to get seated, you were seeing Ric Flair's robe, something from Sting. And then they had a little small ring where some wrestlers come out about every 30 minutes and put on a little match.
Dude, that's rad.
It was so cool, but it didn't go over with the Las Vegas crowd. So it was only open for about a year. But I loved it. And one of the best burgers I ever put in my mouth. It was incredible. They need to start thinking about that kind of thing to get that product out there a little bit more.
Well, yeah, and you know, to have some kind of a momentum, you know, of that too. Like if I were to go see like a brick and mortar WWE Hall of Fame, you know, you're guaranteed I'm going to buy a souvenir, shirt, or you know, when I went to see the NASCAR Hall of Fame, I mean, that was one of the neatest things I've ever done.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And like you said, there was tons more options you could do. Like you could pay more money and go, you know. You could go up to, you know, I can't remember whose garage it was there in North Carolina, and you know, take a tour of their garage, and you could go to the track, and so there was some cool stuff could go see and do.
But it's going to have to. I think some of this stuff is going to have to be associated with the event itself, and different ways to get people to spend their money, maybe making some of the cheap seats cheaper, but also offering more souvenirs, more chances to meet with the wrestlers, get autographs. I think people
and
would
you know
do that,
maybe
yeah.
like and you know like limited package things, like, you know, I mean, how cool would it be for like you know, I would pay a little bit extra for some sort of like a backstage meet and greet, even if it wasn't for, you know, like Roman Reigns, if it was for Bayley or something like that, how cool would that be too?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And you know, if you had a decent, like, you know, $25-$30 for a seat, but then you paid an extra, you know, $50 or whatever to meet Bayley and get an autograph, like, how cool would that be?
Yeah. Now I'll go back to Comic-Con. Now they call it Fan X in Salt Lake City. When they bring in some of these celebrities, now I'm going to go with the guys from Arrow that I met. You know, they would, you know, you'd pay so much to get into Comic-Con, which was I think $30 or $40, maybe $50 for the package deal to get in each day, $50 a day, something like that. Then when you wanted to meet somebody, like maybe Adam West from Batman, if you wanted to get an autograph from Batman, just to have him autograph something, it was $60. If you wanted a picture with him, you're paying $120, you know? And they allowed some of the wrestlers, if they would allow some of the wrestlers to, maybe if they have a day off, to do a meet and greet backstage or to work the crowd a little bit at an autograph booth. I remember when I went down to a Maverick Center a few years ago, and Eric Rowan was, he drove up. And he got out of the car, but he wasn't on the card that night. Same thing with Tyson Kidd. But if I'd have seen them sitting at an autograph booth, yeah, I would have got over and got an autograph, you know? Or if they'd announced that they're doing that, give them a chance to make a little change, maybe take a little piece of that. There's ways to separate, as Barnum says, a fool and his money are soon parted. But there's ways to make people spend money besides paying $80 for a seat. You know, there's different ways.
You know,
to
and
do
look
that.
At what, look at a prime example of that day is what NASCAR has done.
Uh-huh.
You know, as the slight, you know, as the decline, let's just be honest, as the decline of NASCAR started happening, they didn't want it to cut into their profit margins.
Right.
So they started raising ticket prices,
which is always not a good thing.
Yeah. And so, NASCAR has, in my opinion, priced themselves out of a show. I mean, it's borderline ridiculous how much it costs to go to a NASCAR event. Like, you know, if you camp or whatever you do, you know, you're $300-$400 for a camp spot that's literally like enough to park your truck and your trailer in. There's no flush toilets, there's no, you know, anything like that, and so you're, you know, you're for for 3 or 4 days, you're crapping in pit toilets and showering in a semi-trailer. And, you know, it's just, I mean, like I said, you know, it's kind of about the experience. And I've always had a great time at NASCAR. But, you know, you're talking $1,000 to go to NASCAR for the weekend.
Right.
By the time you drive down there, pay $300 or $400 for your camp spot, pay $300 or $400 to get into the race every day. And it's not, and the turnout they're getting these days isn't that great.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you've seen, I don't know if you've watched races lately, but you know, a lot of those, places have gotten rid of seats, you know, those big grandstands and stuff. They don't have the seats like they used to.
Uh-huh.
And even at Vegas, they took out scads of seats.
Uh-huh.
Because they weren't filling them. And it just looked terrible on live television to see all these empty seats. And so their solution was, well, if we're not filling the seats, so let's just take them out, which I don't know if that's the answer or not either, you know.
Well,
but
you know,
that's kind of what I was thinking.
It's part of the answer. And I think we've discussed this. Chris especially has brought this up several times. When is it too much? When is it too much for someone like you or myself to go to a house show and have to plunk down $100 for a ticket? Or how much? When is it too much for us to go to a concert and pump down $150 to $200 for a decent seat? When is that breaking point? And I've said it once and I'll say it again. It's when people stop buying it. You know, I gave the example a couple of podcasts ago. I was at a Guns N' Roses concert, and this was back in 1991. And how much the beer cost, I have no idea. I don't drink beer. But I'm in line, and I'm just going to get a Dr. Pepper or something. And there was a dude in front of me. He was half snockered anyway, which is fine. It's his life. But he starts complaining about the beer prices. And I said, well, how many have you had? 12. You know, I'm going, well, don't pay it, you know. Dude,
get a flask.
Yeah, bring in your own, whatever, you know. Just if people would not pay the type of prices, then they would come down. They would have to come down. Another example, first Comic-Con, I get out of one of the panel discussions, or maybe I was waiting for one, and there was a guy that was talking about how many celebrities he had met, and he's showing these autographed pictures and stuff, and he shows me the Batman, Adam West. And I said, how much did you pay for that? $80. Paid $200 to get a picture with him. And I bet he spent $2,000 on that kind of junk, but it was his money. But when people stop paying it and they realize people aren't going to pay that kind of thing anymore, or they're going to say, well, maybe if we dump the price 20%, we could pick up 30% of patrons and make more money that way. And until they start marketing themselves and start looking at the marketing instead of just saying, well, we got to raise prices, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's being loud in the microphone.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Dave. It's, you know, I'm excited to see him get back out on the road. I am. I think it's going to be awesome. I would love to see if I can get out and see some shows. You know, unfortunately, my hookup with the radio station is
gone.
But that's okay. You know, I'll fork out the cash. And
well, I'll know what I'll do. I'll contact my few friends that are still there, and I'll say, if you get some, let me know, and sneak me a couple. You know, I've actually had a guy that quit the radio station several years ago that would come and ask, he says, do you have any freebies? Do you have this? Do you have tickets for this? And, you know, he hadn't worked at the station for years, but he was still expecting me to get him freebies. So anyway, I'll do the same
excessive.
Thing. Yeah. But it is, it's going to be an interesting summer, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm really excited to get out and get, you know, get active, get exploring, you know, stuff like that. I think it's going to be fun. I don't know if I told you, but we're doing a road trip right after Jackson gets out of school, and we're going to go to the South Dakota thing and
that's cool.
And
that is
see
really
Rushmore
cool.
And all that stuff. So that's that'll awesome. Be fun.
I did that a few years ago. I'm proud, you know, and then if you get a chance, maybe we can meet at the DCW show on June the 12th, which I hope to go to.
Absolutely. That's not even something you have to ask, Dave. That's already a given.
Well, I'm hopeful that my health will improve after I have this back surgery later this week, and that I can start walking around a little bit more, and at least my stomach's in better shape than it was. So, but it is going to be fun. I look forward to seeing you, man. I really do.
On the road to recovery, Dr. Dave Denton is.
Yeah, we appreciate that, and we've had some very kind words. I'd like to say a quick shout out to Richard on our Facebook page. Richard always makes great comments, and I see him a lot down at DCW events, and hopefully we can get you two hooked up so you guys can meet each other too. And Andrew Sowell and Tombstone and Manny and Rekha, Brett and Brother Chadwin and all you guys at DCW, I've got a special place in my heart for you guys. I hope you know that. We talk a lot about you guys here on, but that's because they've been so kind to us and welcomed us to their events, and I think that's the big thing. And then also guys at Dive, I hope to come see you sometime this summer too.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. It's a little bit of a further drive for me, but I would make it, you know, just to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably about 2 hours for me to get up there versus an hour and a half to Salt Lake, but that's okay. You know, I'd still make the drive and maybe make a day out of it, go up and see the museum, the Hill Air Force Base Museum, and go see Dive, because they're up there in that Davis County area, I believe.
Yeah, that's true.
So a little bit further than Salt Lake for me, probably a little bit closer for you, though.
Yeah, about 45 minutes closer for me. So, but anyway, it's been great talking to you again. We're hopeful to have some more. About every 2 weeks, we'll try to do this again, okay?
Yeah. Great talking to you too, Dave. And I'm glad that you had this, you know, got this lined up and got it figured out. I'm glad your health is to where, you know, it's getting better, and you have a terrible co-host for not picking up the slack while you were gone.
I mean, what a jerk.
I know. Other than the fact that he's like, you know, the coolest guy on the entire planet.
Well, second coolest. I mean, you've got me.
Second coolest guy next to Chris.
Well, no. me. I'm number one. You're number two.
Well,
and let me tell you, when you have a gallbladder problem, you have a lot of number two. So there you go.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, there is nothing like a nice number two to start the morning
out.
That's right. You know?
And okay, I got to tell you this really quick thing I used to do a lot when people would write letters. I'd always put P.S. It's always nice to end a letter with a nice P.S. and always great to start a morning with a great P.S.
Yes. You. Oh, Dave, where's your mind at these days? Apparently,
I'm retired.
Apparently
I can do
mind,
anything.
Yes. And you're like, oh, it's just Dave. He's just a cute old man. You know, so you can get away with it now, right?
That's right. I'm ornery. I'm a grumpy old man. So, well, it's great talking to you. And Chris.
Hey, great talking to you too, Dave. I hope you have a great night. Glad you're feeling better. And let's get together soon, and we'll record. What's the next pay-per-view? What's next on the list for
mid-June? They're going to have Hell in a Cell.
Oh.
And then next week, AEW has theirs, Double or Nothing, and I plan on purchasing that one myself. It is my birthday, so.
Good.
Yeah. I'll eat cake and watch wrestling. So. Okay.
Yes, you deserve it. Okay, Dave, have a great night, and good time to be a wrestling fan.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro
yes!
wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Check. Chick, check, chickity, check, check.
Be careful how you say chick.
As long as the WWE don't bring the zombies with them, I'll be just fine with it.
You know what? It's zombies. Go watch it and be entertained.
Well, probably send money.
Do you even need an answer from me, Dave?
Well, is it a silent movie? Because I know he can't act.
Chris needs to crack open a Steve Weiser and lighten up a little bit, doesn't he? Get some more bang for the buck.
Marty, it's a trap.
Well, you know, guys, I'd just like to comment that Demi Lovato did come out as non-binary this week. And how completely irrelevant that is to anything in the world.
I just love wrestling. That's all I am. I'm a fan.
That's because you're awesome.
True. Very true.
Of all the things you have to say on this podcast, that is the thing that comes out of your mouth.
Hey, like so Miami Vice did. I'm number one. You're number two.